Coming up on The Source, he's been called the father of electronic music, the first Mixmaster DJ, and a visionary who predicted this age of non-linear interactive media. He's the groundbreaking avant-garde composer and musician Morton Subotnick, and he's in San Antonio for a series of concerts and workshops. Subotnick was the first to be commissioned to compose electronic music for a major music label, and he pushed the boundaries of what is music.
We were living through a short window where something was changing and everything in society would be different and music would be different.
He continues to educate and enlighten audiences around the world with non-traditional structures of music. We're going to hear his work and his approach to creating music. That's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
The Source is made possible in part by a grant from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Going to play you a piece of music. It's a classic called Silver Apples of the Moon, composed and performed by today's guest, Morton Subotnick. Silver Apples was released in 1967, and at the time it was groundbreaking and certainly ahead of its time, and that can be said even of our time. Subotnick is recognized as a pioneer in the development of electronic music and multimedia performance. It's part of the modern culture that we take for granted today. Things like sampling, scratching, looping, and mashups can be traced back to Subotnick and Silver Apples. Subotnick is in San Antonio this weekend, thanks to local composer George Cisneros and his group Urban 15. Subotnick is having a series of concerts and workshops. He's also spent time working with local hearing-impaired children at Sunshine Cottage. Now at 80 years old, Subotnick continues to perform around the globe and compose and break new ground, just like he did when he released Silver Apples of the Moon, when at that time no one had heard anything like it before.
Nothing like it. In all kinds of ways. And that's been determined sort of officially at this point because it's now in the National Registry of Records in Washington as one of a kind, as the first of something. And the whole concept of it was that there is no piece, there's no score, it never does get performed. It is a piece that's made in the studio. This is so commonplace now that it's hard to even talk about this as seeming different from it. Everyone would have to understand that this never happened before. That was the very first time there was a post-production performance-like thing going on for 13 months, editing, putting it back together, listening, putting it back together again, listening again, making new decisions, until finally I had this thing that lasted for 30 minutes that was as perfect as I could make it, and then releasing it, and its only life was on your hi-fi set. There was no life outside of that, and that's what it was commissioned for, and that's what it was.
So it wasn't created like a score of music for people to go out and reproduce on their own.
No.
It was like, this is a... You hear it and you experience off the record.
Right. There was no other way. It was a piece that was, I used paper and I used scoring techniques in order to figure out what I was going to do.
Because you were a classically trained musician,
yeah, I
played the clarinet in an orchestra.
Right. I had come out of, when I started working on this idea, I mean, it's hard to even imagine that the idea was brand new. Because when I say it, you know, everybody in the world knows this idea, right? But this... I was having this idea in 1959, 60, 61. The transistor was just coming into its own. There was just nothing like it. It was completely... And I was playing with the San Francisco Symphony. I was playing part-time, and I was playing touring with one of the companies that tour chamber groups. I forgot what they called them. This one was now. It's a big one. And we were doing West Coast tours playing chamber and Brahms and Beethoven and then new music. I was teaching counterpoint. You know, I was writing music for instrumental ensembles that was being played. And I suddenly had this really clear picture that because of the reading I was doing, the people I met and talked to, that we were living through a short window where something was changing and everything in society would be different and music would be different. Would there be a new, the music we were playing wouldn't be different, but there'd be a new way to hear music and to create music that would be, would democratify it. There would be, the demography would be huge as a part of this elitist thing. And I thought, my God, here I'm living in this time and I know this is going to happen. And I can give input to this. I didn't know anything about technology, but if I could learn about technology and get any kind of thing about it, I could actually make a contribution.
So you had an inkling that you guys are at the very dawn of a new age.
Yeah, I was absolutely certain it was going to happen. And
well, how did you know that people could create music or tonality with electronics?
I didn't know they could, and I didn't know they would. And I wasn't interested in them making music that sounded like Bach or anything we had made before. I was interested in what this new technology would do. Imagine this.
So you immediately wanted to do something completely new.
What I realized is
you didn't want to do, you know, let's do Beethoven with little fun bebop
absolutely
sounds.
Not, because I was already playing that. And I played it really well, and all my friends played it really well, and I didn't see anything better you could do with that technology would bring you. But what technology, the best technology even today can do is as good as, it can't do it better, because it evolved. Its perfection was that it evolved for so many thousands of years. What I thought is, here's a time when we're going to have a new technology to be able to, in addition to a lot of other things, produce a new kind of music that people would grow up and would be generations, would be 100, 150 years of generations that gradually would evolve ways with creative people to do things without keyboards, with technology. And so I didn't want an instrument with a black and white keyboard on it, because with my background, I would have ended up bringing the backwards. So I had this idea of a machine that was neutral, that wasn't dependent on 2,000 years of evolution, but had all the possibilities at the same time of doing whatever you had done over the last 2,000 years. Otherwise, you would be, you know. And there wasn't many people who could do that, because if you're a technologist or a computer expert or whatever, you probably didn't have the background I had. So I thought, what I have to do is team up with somebody and make a model and just do things. And maybe after I'm dead, people will find it and it will empower someone along the line.
Well, let's not go there yet. George Cisneros of Urban 15, what does it mean for you personally to be with Morton and bringing him to San Antonio?
Well, my greatest pleasure is to provide an opportunity for all the wonderful people I've met in my life and have shared my life here in San Antonio, and to provide that opportunity to them to hear something as amazing as what Morton Subotnick brought to my ears. The absolute earwash that happened in 1970, early 70s. I bought the Silver Apples in 69 while still at Central Catholic. But in 1971 or 72, I went to a presentation when I was at Georgetown, and my ears just opened up. And I want to make an opportunity for people to have that experience, particularly young people.
You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're talking with groundbreaking musician and composer Morton Subotnick, who was in San Antonio this weekend for a series of concerts at Urban 15. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. I am talking with modern music pioneer Morton Subotnick and George Cisneros of Urban 15. Subotnick composed Silver Apples of the Moon and released it in 1967. He created the first commissioned piece of electronic music for a record label, and that started a whole new thing. Let's get back to our conversation.
Yeah, what we came up with was, this, of course, Don Buchlab was working with the engineer, and we came up with, it's capacitance, actually, but you, when you press your finger down, the pressure of your finger expands the amount of moisture that's covering the electricity, so it's like a little resistor, so it allows more electricity to pass the harder you push, but it's not actually pressure. It's the key doesn't go down. That's the point.
Well, it's like an iPad now, which you use for some children's applications.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, except that doesn't have the pressure on it. You actually can't make it louder and softer. This is actually changing the voltage. But it is tactile like that. It feels like that, but you're actually doing it. Anyway, that's a technical aspect, but I'm writing a book for MIT Press, and I'm trying to be accurate. So it's not a key that goes down. So if anyone out there is trying to make one, the key doesn't go down. It's the finger that covers more of the current that goes.
David, for me, the excitement, I kind of approach music and music making from a technological point of view as well. But those technologies that always fascinated me were things like friction. Violinists, weedos, whatever, that's a friction-based technology that created sound. You know, a impact, whether it be a drum or a hammer hitting a string to make a piano sound. And I've always tried to reduce things to, like, what is the physical phenomena, the physics of what is creating that sound. And the thing that excited me when I first heard electronic music was, this is made by magnetism. This is all capacitance and resistance based.
These totally are electrons different. Running
yeah,
around.
Yeah, this is totally different than rubbing something or hitting something or, you know, blowing into something.
Well, let me ask you real quick, physics. Though. I mean, Silver Apples, that comes from Yeats. Is that right?
Two lines, Golden Apples of the Sun, Silver Apples of the Moon. I had to come up with a structure, an overall structure for a record. And a record in those days was two sides, right? So there were going to be two parts to this. You could do one part or the other. The other concept I had from 1963 on, that got realized in 1966 and 7, was that in the future, people would be able to listen to anything in their homes with headsets and whatever. And they wouldn't have to go to a concert. That's a wonderful thing to go to a concert, but there'd be libraries of these discs, right? And I mean, this sounds like, what is he talking about? Is he from outer space? But they didn't have that. It wasn't there. We had records, but that wasn't what you did. So I thought a person is in a state of mind that they want a particular, they go to my record and they decide to play it from the middle. Very softly. They have choice at that point.
So this is the interactiveness.
That's the interactive aspect, which is the DJ, right? But I'm anticipating that the listener is no longer somebody who is stuck with the imperative that you would get in Beethoven. Ta-ta-ta-ta. Ta 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 ta, and later ta 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 ta. You can't go ta 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 dee da 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 without having ta 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 before it. It wouldn't make any sense. You can't get the Ode to Joy first because it wouldn't make any sense. You have to.
So there was this linear quality of the music that you wanted to break away.
I wanted to break away from, not because I thought it was bad. I thought it was good, but because this new art form would not be able to have that, because people would be able to start. This is nothing you can't send the Gestapo and say, hey, you didn't start that record from the beginning. I mean, the whole point to it, if it's going to be real, is that it has to be a new art that's based on, you know, random access.
So let me just ask you one more thing about Silver Apples. Did you get any sort of residuals or credit from Steve Jobs for coming? That's where we get all our music from now, was a Silver Apple that sits right in front of us. It's just a computer.
Yeah. Wasn't my idea, but that's great.
So, George, let me ask you about performances in San Antonio. What do we have? How do people experience?
I think that at this point, Morton evaded the real first question is, the performances in San Antonio, how different are them from the original Silver Apples?
Yeah. And let me do that real quickly. I know you're running out of time here. But it became a 13-month journey for me, creating, listening. I thought of creating music as a studio artist, no longer the composer, the performer, and the audience. But I was the composer, the performer, and the audience. So I was performing, but I was performing 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for 13 months, picking and choosing and planning and cutting and mixing. And I ended up with a perfect thing, which was the record. Then when I thought about going out in public, what I thought to do would be to take all the elements I had and do that process in public. So it would have elements of the record, but I'd be redoing it. It was the beginning of Remix. I was the father of Remix and DJ. So that's what I did in public. Now, but I couldn't do a big thing because the analog synthesizer is very, really cumbersome. You got all these wires that have to be plugged in. But now I've got the Buchla synthesizer, which is the new one, which I can interface with Ableton Live in the computer. And that means I can store things like mad. And I have everything I've ever written and everything new that I'm doing. I still work 10 to 12 hours a day. When I go on the road, I have all kinds of new material I bring in. And I start with the materials from Silver Apples of the Moon. And I end with my last record, the ending of my very last record, is Sky of Cloudless Sulfur. And in between, I have everything. And I plan a few days before how I'm going to put these things together. But they're all absolutely, not absolutely new, but they're sort of semi-improvised, based on a whole lot of stuff that I've got. And it's I don't know. It can be anywhere from 30 minutes to 55 minutes long, depending on how I'm going.
How theatrical is it to watch you perform?
I couldn't tell you because I never watched me perform. But I try to set it up so people can see what I'm doing.
Are you like twisting knobs and punching buttons?
See what you mean. No, I've got little tiny keyboards for whatever little pitch-based thing I'm doing. I've got a wonderful keyboard that the touch plate keyboard that Buchla made that fits your hand, their two hands. So if you held your hands up with in front of you with your thumbs facing each other, the keyboard looks exactly like that. So you can actually, unlike a normal keyboard where you have to learn to roll your hands over your fingers and over your thumb and everything fits, so you can play so many simultaneous things. You can rub them up and down. You can press on them. You can hit keys. And I've got buttons and I've got knobs. I don't move any wires around. They're all fixed. But I've got knobs, keys, and these touch plate things that I'm pushing around as things go. So it's but I don't know how theatrical it is.
George, how theatrical is it?
It's amazing. The intensity, it's watching Rubinstein at work.
George, tell me the opportunities in San Antonio to experience Morton.
Okay, we have a concert series for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at 8 p.m. at Urban 15. Tickets are available only online. We're not going to have sales at the door because that way we feel that we can get people into the hall and there is no interruption once the music begins. We also have what we call Composers Forum on Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4. Again, that's an online ticket. And we have a two-hour session where we're going to, do a This Is Your Lifetime of conversation, Charlie Rose interview. And then he's going to demonstrate the system. And let's open it up, Q&A. And a couple of local people are going to bring in some vintage synthesizers and have them there around the Urban 15 complex. But the idea is that if people want to come, they just need to get on the Urban 15 website and get those tickets.
The address?
Urban15.org, urban15.org, and it's very, very easy to use our system there. It's going to be a great event, and acoustically, come with wide open ears and an open mind.
There were people that were calling you a heretic before and iconoclast, and now today here you are.
I think what happened in the day when I did it, I came out of the fine art tradition. The fine art tradition is still going today. The fine art tradition essentially thought I was a madman. The people who actually came to my studio in the middle of the night were rock musicians like the Jefferson Airplane or the Mothers of Invention or the Grateful Dead. These guys would, my studio was on Bleecker Street in New York. They'd come up and spend time after they were done at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And they saw great new possibilities. The people who grew up in the fine art world today, many of them probably still think I'm a madman. But there are many more of the Jefferson Airplane people in the world now than there used to be. So I think, you know, as I said, I think this will eventually enter the fine art in a major way. It's in there. But I'm a fine artist. That's how I grew up. But there's not a whole lot of stuff that's like what I do right now. I think it's going to take 100 to 150 years. It hasn't happened yet because it's going to take generations of people, and that will gradually build things, not just instant things, but people enough. We've got probably only half of 1% of the population would spend as much time working a day for so many years to get one thing achieved as I have. And it's going to take a bunch of those people over a long period of time to actually evolve enough that we begin to have something that's truly different. And I think that hasn't happened yet.
We've been talking to modern music composer Morton Sabotnick with George Cisneros of Urban 15. Sabotnick composed Silver Apples of the Moon and released it in 1967, creating the first commissioned piece of electronic music for a record label. He has a series of concerts and workshops in San Antonio this weekend, and you can find out more on our website, tpr.org. You've been listening to The Source on KSTX. Wayne Coble is the TPR program director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. Paul Flav is in charge of TPR operations. We get production help from Catherine Dixon. I'm David Martin Davies. Check us out online at tpr.org. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio.